And we're back for the final run. Not final forever, folks, only final for this week at Sharing the Burden, live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. And, folks, I haven't forgotten, we need a meeting in Stouffville. We need a place where people with burdens, and I know many people in Stouffville, and we've all got burdens of one type or another. If we can get the stigma of recovery out of our heads and know that it's not for only an addict, but for anyone who wants to live a better lifestyle, you know, and mix a lot of good things together, like, you know, a spiritual life along with a practical life, and just a way to live good within a world. And that doesn't mean that you know, you can never drink or never do anything like that either. Maybe I never will, in my reasoning. I won't even bother telling you now, but it has nothing to do with alcoholism. It's a personal choice that just makes a lot of sense to me. But that's me. I wasn't always like that. I used to say, well, you know, the King of Kings drank, why shouldn't I? You know, I mean, that's the way I was for a lot of years. But anyway, it's not that way anymore. But finally, the Hummingbird Hub is a little place. There's a lady named Laura. It's about three buildings over from Whistle FM here on Main Street, 6331 Main. Lloyd and I will drop in for a few minutes after the after this show, and if anyone does want to know anything about Sharing the Burden, any way, shape, or form, you know, feel free to drop in, say hello. Laura be happy to meet you too. And Laura brings a lot of, different, she creates collaboration with not only charitable sources, but any kind of help organization that exists around the, Stouffville Markham area even, and, she's doing a great job, so let's back her up. So, Lloyd, we're back for, run. You know, another 10 or 12 minutes or so. When you think of, I remember a lady in an Al-Anon program years ago, she always said, I've got to remember MYOB. And she meant for herself, mind your own business. In the world of addiction and recovery, minding our own business is a tough one sometimes. If we have people in the family who have problems this way, you know, and as we mentioned, usually there's a mental illness involved. So there's a combination of mental illness and addiction. How do we go about handling it? How do we offer the best that we can offer to someone we love? You know, what steps do we take to make it work? And it's a real tough one. And when we say mind your own business, I can remember, and a typical one is, a psychiatrist saying to me after my son missed about six meetings in a row, and I finally, out of embarrassment, went to see the psychiatrist and talked to him about my son. And that was, I don't know, 25, 28 years ago, and I still go there. So that'll tell you something that, you know, not too many of us escape without some kind of needs ourselves. But anyway, I went there, and during part of the conversation, which ended up really, you know, a couple of very simple questions that got me talking a lot about my feelings as opposed to how I thought my son felt and what he needed and this and that. And I learned that I couldn't enable him anymore in any way, shape, or form. And it came best to me when this psychiatrist said, well, Scott, do you really want to help Sean? Do you really want to help your son? And I said, well, of course. He said, well, don't help him. And it struck, you know, and I got it. And I knew that that was the answer, because the only way I could help someone who was not asking for help was by trying to control that person. And trying to control another human being, folks, you know, beyond yourself, and, you know, I can dispute even yourself, but, you know, you do seem to have a little bit of decision-making powers that really do belong to you. But beyond that, you try and fix someone else, you're going to make them worse, I guarantee you. What's your feeling on that, Lloyd? Do you agree with that?
Well, I often hear that, you know, with addiction, that it's one person may use, but the entire family suffers. And, you know, then there's a fine line between helping and enabling. And that's where I have a decision that it's very hard for me to make, because I want to help everybody. And, but you gotta realize when, you know, when your helping might turn into enabling.
Yeah.
And you find yourself being vulnerable and, you know, being used use it a crutch.
Yep.
And, you know, that's a very hard decision for me, but, you know, to leave somebody on their own, I don't know. That's a hard, hard question, hard decision.
Yeah, it's very hard. I mean, it's called tough love sometimes.
Yeah.
Again, mixed with mental illnesses, we've got to be very, very careful how we handle different people. And, you know, I mean, if we know, for instance, that borderline personality disorder houses probably, you know, one of the largest shares of potential suicides in the mental illness world. And if we know that, you know, how hard are we going to be on those kind of people who are also addicted to something or other? You know, how are we not going to help or not help? You know, it's tough. It's not as easy as it would be for somebody who we just thought in our heads was, you know, the guy's an alcoholic, for instance. Well, alcoholics are addicts who have the same old problem. They have some form of mental illness, more than likely, usually undiagnosed. The alcoholism, having been around for a long time, is often, you know, I know so many people who don't drink anymore, but they never got well. And what I mean by that is they've moved the so-called addiction into something that the world thinks is positive, usually like making money. And they go about making money 24/7 and wonder what happened to their families and how they grew up without them knowing them and different things like that. So there's all sorts of isms out there that can be, you know, moved from one to the other. It's a, you know, I think the worst one is busyism. You know, if there's no time to sit and reflect and be uncomfortable with who you are and allowing those feelings to move on, you know, we stay stuck in that realm of, yeah, I got the dough today and I don't do the other stuff, so everybody's happier. But yeah, they're happier, but really, they're happier because you give them more money because they don't know you and you don't know them. So anyway, that's just a bit of a personal aside. Patty, you're in the help industry. You know, you're really right into it, and I know you are. How do you handle that? What's the balance between, you know, using your professionalism versus interfering with a cure or a therapy or something along those lines?
I think part of it has to be the focus of why I'm giving something. So, you know, you have people who, you know, I say I'm going to give you something for pain if they're conscious, you know, because I work in critical care, so not everybody's conscious, and they don't even know what they're getting necessarily. But if you're offering something like fentanyl, which is very much prevalent right now, they say, oh, is that the drug of fentanyl that everybody's getting, you know, caught on? And I say yes, but I also say to them too, you know, if you're worried about addiction, I understand that, I respect that, but the purpose of this right now is they're already not addicted to the drug, so first of all, that's key. And then, you know, you're using it for a particular purpose. The other thing too is that the drug that we provide in healthcare, even though it's fentanyl, is something that is vetted through Food and Drug Administration. You have to remember, as you guys clearly know, a lot of these medications on the streets are not the medication that we give because it's laced with all different kinds of things. And that's why kids are, you know, kids or people are dying with these sort of things because they're laced with different types of additives. And you're not getting the real stuff, so to speak. So in my work giving these drugs, I know what they're getting and what they're giving and the purpose of it. When you're talking about people on the streets, though, they don't know what they're necessarily getting with additives that are maybe on there, and they're addicted personalities. In my world, do I ever deal with people who have addictions? Yes, because they've overdosed perhaps on a medication and have fortunately been caught in time. And what do we do with those individuals is if they come through the hospital system, we hope to provide psychiatric support for their addiction and so on. It's, of course, a bigger issue, but realistically, if we have people who come in who have addictions, yes, Lloyd, as you were saying about methadone, we use that, or it has been used, and we carry that on for the addicted person in the hospital, but there's a struggle where they are in pain. Don't forget that people who have addictions have many kinds of pains, but they may have a pain from a surgery. And they need something. They can't be denied comfort, because that's difficult and depressing and so on. So how do you balance their addiction with the current need of what they have? And it can be very complex. And then you look at the person who's addicted and so fearful. That they're in a spiral of, oh my gosh, I've been clean and now you're giving me something. Am I clean or am I not clean anymore? And how do you decide that? So when you're looking at, people with addictions and saying just don't give them drugs, as you were saying, Scott, too, drugs can be helpful and curative and supportive and needed. It's how it's used. It's not to be abused. Like you say, for people with depression, it is something to make people live their life to their fullest. And yes, it's a drug. You're not addicted to it, but your life continues on well with it. So perspective is also very key.
Mm-hmm. There's another thing too. I was just thinking when you're, you know, particularly, and I use my own case of going in for surgery and hearing about the fentanyl and not worried so much myself about addiction. But, I know many people who would shudder to think they were going to get a bit of anything, whether it be booze or fentanyl, if they're, you know, an addict along those lines, opiate addiction. You know, what do we do? Like, what can we give them if we can't give them narcotics?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something?
Well, you know, realistically, too, if you know, first of all, like I say, in my business, a lot of people are uncomfortable. But when you have somebody who's, you know, got an addiction and you need pain control, you may choose something else instead of a fentanyl if they had a fentanyl addiction. It might be morphine. We don't really use Demerol, but it might be something else to help along. But part of it is the feeling of what the drug provides you. And yeah, you have to monitor it and be careful. And I think at that point, you can't exclude somebody from their right to support in helping getting over their problem. But I think recognizing that there's an issue and being open about it is that you provide the support right from the get-go. Get the supports and services that you need, you know, that you have to have for them. And recognize that, no, you're not relapsed per se from an addicted personality. You're being supported medically for your pain management. And there is a difference. One is mind, and the addiction of the mind for the need, exactly. And one is body for the help for that. Yeah. It's when you cross back over and now I need it, I keep wanting it now because of the mind, not the need anymore, right?
That's huge, and unfortunately, all of the alternatives are somewhat, they're narcotics too, so it's difficult, and I think, just like you're saying, mental, before we clock out here, the mental part, depending on the type of addiction, whether it's mental, emotion, physical, or a combination, any drug can set off the addiction. So that is real. We'll have to talk more on that sometime in the future. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to have to do a wrap. Some final words from our guest today, Lloyd. Why don't you clean up this place and sign us out when you get finished talking.
I'm just really glad to be here, Scott. And like I said, sharing the burden has allowed me to grow. And, you know, it's just 21 months since I was removed from active addiction. And, you know, seeing some gift of recovery, you know, my kids back into my life. And, you know, things are going great. You know, it could be better, but, you know, I'm comfortable where I'm at right now. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for coming, and thank you, Patty.
No problem.
Yeah,
no problem.
Great. So,
thanks all for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM here in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show, and hope you will share it online. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.